you're here tonight.
Last night, we preached out of the 133rd Psalm where David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I preached on unity last night. He said it's like the precious ointment. We really majored on that, I think, the type of a Holy Spirit. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran off the beard, even Aaron's beard. And David said down off the skirts of his garment. And he closed out verse number 3 in the 133rd Psalm. He said, "There God bestowed the blessing, even life forevermore." So we preached last night and made the picture of the Holy Spirit anointing the church and anointing individuals and what have you. And I believe that's where God bestows the blessing, even life forevermore. People get saved by the grace of God. And we noticed three things in particular. I'm not re-preaching that. I'm trying to lay a foundation to build on tonight. I believe the Holy Spirit, when the anointing came upon Aaron's head and the dew fell on Mount Hermon and on the mountains of Zion, we mentioned three things. If it was cause of humility, the olives had to be crushed to get the oil. And then he said, make that compound that he mixed that oil out of. He said, make it out of pure myrrh. There had to be purity. And then the oil had to be mixed together. The calamus and the cassia and the myrrh and the olive oil had to be mixed together. And that was unity. So if you weren't here, that's what we preached last night. It takes purity, it takes humility, and it takes unity to have the Holy Spirit to move in power. So with that thought in mind, John chapter 17, you may not see that, but you will, I hope, before I get through out of John 17. The Bible said in verse 1, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." That's the only kind of life Jesus gives, is eternal life. Verse number 3, "And this," you've got to gauge that you have eternal life. Verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And thou, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." If you write, mark your Bible, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 there, the son of perdition is referred to again. That's Judas Iscariot. He's an interesting, mystical subject in the Bible. Verse number 13, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me in the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone," we get in the picture now, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And then verse 18:1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, I think is the correct pronunciation. Would you ask him to help me? Father, Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you for the word of God that you preserve even to this generation. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Gospel of John, and I thank you for chapter number 17. And I want to thank you for the Holy Ghost that lives in our heart. And Lord, surely, if we'd be sensitive to Him, we could rightly divide your word tonight, because we know He's the author of this book. And so I pray for unction and liberty and anointing tonight, Lord, to preach Thy word. Thank you for dealing with my heart today. And I pray you give a hearing ear and a receptive heart, Lord, to the word of God tonight. And as already been prayed, I pray some poor sinner, lost and undone without God, that's about to miss the rapture, and Lord, be left behind. I pray they'd come tonight and be saved by the grace of God. And Lord, they really might know what life eternal is. That is to know you, the only true and the living God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. So Lord, I pray we'd all search our hearts tonight. Be one that's not saved, you'd save them. I pray, Lord, for your church tonight as you pray. God, give us a ear to hear and hearts to receive and feet to act upon what we hear tonight. We'll praise you for all you do. We love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your Bible open tonight. I want to try to go through this chapter, and I will be as brief as I can, but we've got 26 verses, and this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been a commentator, and I read after good writers and good commentators, but a lot of it is just commentators. Amen. I think this is really the Lord's prayer. In Matthew, when Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes down through those verses, but he was talking to the disciples. He said, when you pray, you say, Our Father which art in heaven. And so I would call that the disciples' prayer. And I would call John 17 the Lord's prayer. And I'm not being a smart aleck, and I'm not trying to correct all those old men of God that pin those commentaries down. But in John 17, whether you agree with that theology or not, Jesus lifts up his eyes in verse number 1, and he began to pray. And he prayed 26 verses down through this chapter. And I want to do a little bit of exposition in that tonight. I believe of all the 1,189 chapters in the Bible, this is probably the most holy ground that you could possibly ever get onto. J. Vernon McGee used to talk and preach about the old Bible bus riding through the Bible, and I used to listen to him a lot when I was a young man. He and Dr. Oliver B. Green, Dr. Seidler, and a lot of other good men of God that were Bible expositors. And Mr. McGee would say, when you're riding through your Bible, you will cross desert sands. You're familiar with that. You'll go through valley experiences. Yea, though I walk through the valley. And then you'll go on mountain tops, on Mount Pisgah's lofty height, where one day, the songwriter said, we'll take our flight. And so your journey through the Bible is plains and valleys and mountain tops. And when you get into John 17, I would probably think that you are probably on the highest mountain peak that probably you could ever get to. And here's why and what I'm trying to say tonight. If we're in John 17, we're on this peak of this mountaintop, here's some of the things that you can see from your vantage point in John chapter number 17. You can see the Lord Jesus Christ in His deity and His humanity. If you look real close, if you look for Jesus in this chapter, you can find His present glory, you can find His past glory, and you can find His future glory. If you look at it real close, look at verse number 5. The Bible said, Jesus said, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Do you know Jesus was before the world? That's God before the world was ever spoken into existence. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said all things were made by Him, without Him, without anything made that was made. And so there's a high in the Scripture in John 17. We can look clear back past Genesis 1:1, and you can find Jesus back there. You can get up in verse number 24, and He says, Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, that's future, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. If you look way back yonder, you can see His glory. If you look way out yonder in the future, beyond the new heaven and the new earth, you can see His glory. And if you look around you in verse number 1, He said these words, spake Jesus, and lift up His eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son. There's His present glory. You got past glory. You got future glory. You got present glory. And I write in the Bible, I'm going to leave this to my grandson, I guess. I wrote in the Bible where He said that the time has come to glorify the Son, that He might glorify Thee. I wrote in my Bible, I think so too. Amen. I thank God for His past glory. I thank God for the future glory. But I'm telling you, there's a present glory that He ought to be getting glorified tonight. And that's what I want to preach to you about. And I hope you'll listen to me for a little while. If you look at this chapter, you can find the sevenfold petition for the church of the disciples that Jesus prayed. He prayed for their salvation, they might know Thee, the only true God. He prayed for their sanctification, verse number 17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. He prayed for their tribulation, that the world and the devil's going to hate them. He prayed for their joy, for alliteration's sake, their jubilation. He prayed for their sanctification, tribulation, salvation. He prayed a sevenfold petition here, and I don't have time to deal with all of that, or we'll still be here when the World Series starts. Amen. But He prayed out child and future for their glorification. He prayed a sevenfold petition that I find in this chapter for me and you. And then also, if you look at real deep down in His heart, you'll find something how He feels about His Father. I marked Him today in my Bible. If I could find Him real quick, I'd give Him to you in verse 1, verse 5, verse 11, and verse number 25. He refers to the Father. Verse 1, verse 11, verse 5, verse 25. He said, Father, O Father, Holy Father, O Righteous Father. It seems like me, Brother Pastor, He gets more intimate as He gets into this 26th verse prayer. Not in count the words, but He begins to talk to His Father, and He begins to pour His heart out, Father, O Father, Holy Father, O Righteous Father. I wonder if you talk to Him tonight. I hope you do. I'm telling you, if you'll learn to pray, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And it's like we get up in the morning, don't talk to each other. Or you get up, children, you don't say good morning, mother, or good morning, dad. I think that's the way we do a lot of times as God's children. We don't talk to the Lord the way we should. But I learned a long time ago, when to get up, it's to say good morning, Lord. Thank you for a good night's rest. I ask Him for direction or leadership through the day. And then I'll bow before I go to bed tonight. And I'll thank Him for meeting every need. Watch care over me and my family. An opportunity to serve Him. Let me be married to my honeymoon. I'm on my wife.
But nevertheless, tonight, we have the high priestly prayer of Jesus, and it's so intimate, we ought to be still and take our shoes off. Jesus is praying. We pray in the church, and I'm telling you, we get still and quiet, and we listen. Well, we ought to reverence tonight, and I hope you will. In John 17, Jesus is praying, and if we give Him our ear and give Him our attention, we're liable to learn something tonight that we may not learn anywhere else as we have studied God's precious, holy, and righteous Word. When you think about the Lord praying, I thought about today, what would Jesus pray? I want to ask you that question. What do you think Jesus would pray about if you could hear Him pray? Well, you can look in this chapter 17 and you can find what He's praying about. He's praying to the Father, and He's praying for Himself to be glorified, that He in turn might glorify His Father. And here's what He said, I do always those things that please Him. And so He always wanted to glorify the Father, and He wanted the Father to be glorified in everything around Him. And that's what He's praying about tonight, church. If you'll listen for just a few minutes tonight, I got about three things I want to give you, if God will help me to get there tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, I think the subject of these 26 verses is that God may be glorified. If you mark your Bible, you might want to mark these verses. I'll lay a foundation and preach about 30 minutes and I'll be through. Twice in verse number 1, He uses the word glorify. He said, Father. He lifted up His eyes and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee. I marked verse number 1, glorify twice in that verse. Look at verse number 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I marked glorified in verse number 4. Look at verse number 5. Oh, am thou, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Twice more in verse number 5, he talks about glorifying God. In verse number 10, he said, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I hope you're getting the message. In verse 10, look at verse number 22. He said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. In verse number 24, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. If I remember right, I believe that's about 8 times in these verses that Jesus is praying for God to be glorified in and through the disciples and in and through Himself, that God might be glorified. Church, are you listening? I don't know whether you know why God saved you or not, but I tell you this tonight, one reason He saved you is that He might get glory out of your life. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, He said, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you listening to me? God wants to be glorified in your life. God wants to be glorified in your marriage. God wants to be glorified in your family. God wants to be glorified in the church. If you'll study the Bible, God wants to be glorified in this earth. He has been glorified in heaven. He's been glorified in a lot of individual lives tonight. But I believe with all of my heart, God dealt with me today. And I think God can get a little more glory out of Pleasant View Baptist Church here tonight than probably what we've been giving. And so you fasten your seatbelt and stay with me for a little bit tonight. The subject of the song of my chapter is that God may be glorified. Well, if that be so, and it is, how's He praying for that to happen, preacher? Well, here's what my study brought out of that. That God may be glorified. Are you listening to me? I'm going to give Him a title in just a minute. Look at verse number 11. He said in verse number 11 of my text, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, He
keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. If you mark your Bible, I mark in verse 11, that they may be one as we are. Look at verse number 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. I mark that. Verse number 21 again. That they also may be one in us. He said it twice in verse number 21. Look at verse number 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. I marked it again in verse number 22. Look at verse number 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. I marked it again in verse 23. Let me see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and neighbor, 5's the number of grace in the Bible. And Jesus is praying for his Father to be glorified. And he said, Father, here's how I'm going to be glorified through my disciples, and you're going to be glorified through us that are upon this earth. He said that we may be one. Church, would you listen to me? I preached on unity last night. I want to preach on oneness tonight. I believe they're Siamese twins. I believe they're roommates, amen, born out of the heart of God. God wants to be glorified, and the way that God wants to be glorified is for the church to be one, for your family to be one, this local assembly to be one, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew, Gentile, bond, or free. We have been all made to drink in the one Spirit. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of us all. Are you listening to me? That word there is used hundreds of times. I didn't know the number. It's 460 sometimes, I think, in the Old Testament, and a whole lot of times in the New Testament. That little word, one, is used. I think we have lost it. I think that's a mystery that a lot of folks cannot conceive it, and they cannot get a hold of it, that it is possible to live in harmony for a man and a woman to love each other, for a family to love each other, and for a church to love each other, that God might be glorified. I hope you'll open your ear. I hope you'll get your heart soft tonight and receive what God dealt with my heart about. I preached out here last year, preached again this year. I'm telling you, I don't think God has ever spoken to me any more clearly than he did today. I said, Lord, I want to preach out of Hebrews. I prayed and asked God to help me. And the Holy Ghost said, preacher, you preach a billion that I preach you to preach. And you go there tonight, you preach out of John chapter 17. And so I'm preaching this thought tonight. Unify to glorify. Are you listening? Unify to glorify. 5 times Jesus said, I want them to be one. Peter, James, and John, Matthew, and all the disciples. And they were human just like we are. And they had different personalities just like we are. Some of them were schooled men. Some of them were unlearned and ignorant men. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were farming, farmers. And they had all they did come from afar, the wise men or whoever the word, but they were it. There's a group of men here, and Jesus is praying for them, Father, that they may be one. Let me raise a question tonight. Is that a possibility in 2009 for the church, the local church, Pleasant View Baptist Church, is it a possibility for the church to be one?
Amen.
Jesus said, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, Father, I know you always hear me, but I'm praying for these so they can hear me. And he prayed the prayer, and Lazarus got up out of the grave. The Father always heard him. So that tells me it is a divine possibility. It is a scriptural possibility that Jesus has already prayed for the church to be one, in one mind and one accord. Are you listening to me? That occurred on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, a time shortly after that, and the disciples continued in one mind and one accord in fellowship and breaking bread from house to house, and to eat their meat with gladness. I could go back there and preach out the book of Acts and show you
love each other and for brethren to dwell together in unity, that God might move in power and pour the oil of the Holy Ghost back upon the head and the beard and the skirts of the garment, that the dew of heaven might fall again upon the church again. Those are symbols of the Holy Ghost tonight, and we're operating through rudiments and traditions of men and philosophy, and we better get back to the power of the Holy Ghost. And I tonight, unify to glorify. 5 times to be in one, and about 8 times to glorify God. Are you listening to me? Let me ask you this. You're a member of this church. This is where you go to church. This is where God told you to be. Are you in unity with everybody here? I said everybody. That means brother pastor. That means sister pastor, the preacher's wife. That means every family. That means every brother. And that means every sister. Are you unified together?
Got awful quiet. And I say no. I get that a lot.
It don't take but about two to have a fight.
These old big churches, honest to God, I wouldn't want Pastor One, never had a desire to Pastor One.
Unify to glorify. Everywhere I go, this I think this is about 6 out of the last 7 weeks I've been preaching, and I got a tickle in the throat, got a frog in the throat, I'll spit him out or swallow him in a minute, one or the other, he'll go one way or the other. But listen to me. The church has got to be in unity.
Amen.
If God is going to be glorified.
Amen.
We got members in churches that were born in the ejective case and the ticketed moon on a dark night in the middle of crab apple season. They had a crab grass salad before they came to church and a bowl of crab apple cereal for breakfast, and they couldn't get along with their devil's grandma.
Right.
Walk around with a chip on the shoulder. I just always knocked it off when I was preaching. Might be William Tell, put a apple on your head or something, somebody shoot it off. He's either the shooter, the shooter, or whatever he was, but I'm telling you this, we ought to get it together where we can honor and glorify God.
Amen.
I told you last night, you don't ever have to be uniform, but you have to unify. We're all different. That's why all of us not fighting over the same woman all the time. Some men like black-headed women, they marry a black-headed woman. Some like red-headed women, for some reason, they marry a red-headed woman, amen. Some like blonde, so they marry a blonde. We all got different likes and dislikes, and we can be unified without being uniform. Are you listening to me? Some of us are tall, blonde, and gray, or handsome, and some are short, fat, and ugly. Everybody can't have everything. Are you listening to me? Do you realize you're different? God, I ought to go to Corinthians, the priest of the carnal Corinthians. He said, you're babies, you're not mature. In chapter number 3, you're carnal, whereas there's among you envy, division, strife, and I don't have time to deal with it, so help me tonight, if you would. For God's sake, grow up and let's get it together. Amen. Is it possible for the church to be in unity? I say it is. Jesus prayed for us to be one. And so let me give you about 4 things he prayed for, and I'll be through in about 30 minutes, the Lord being my helper. Is it possible to get it together and get the job done for God? There's something else in there I didn't show you. I want to show you before I get through. God wants to be glorified. God wants to be the church to be unified. And here's how he said to do it. In verse number 1-3, here is my exposition of these verses. Verse number 1 down through verse number 5, there is a power that produces unity. There is a power that produces unity. Stay with me. Down through verse 1, down through verse number 5, verse 2, now for time's sake, he said in verse 2, as thou hast given him, Jesus, the Son of Man, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Notice the power in verse number 2. He said this, there is a power
is unity. Those men were human men. Those men were just like we are, flesh, blood, and bone. But Jesus prayed for them to be unified and God to be glorified through that union. Are you listening to me? And there's a power that produces that, preacher. What power is that? Well, according to verse number 3 and verse number 2, it's the power of eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I think plain talk is easy understood. Are you listening to me? After pastoring for almost 36 years and been through every kind of a church problem I guess you could ever have, I mean from dandruff to fallen arches, I've had a little bit of all of it in my pastor in 36 years. I dealt with a little bit of everything you could ever think of, and I venture to say this, probably close to 99% of it was caused by people that have never been saved by the grace of God, never been born again, never experienced a new birth, and experienced eternal life. Why, preacher? It's because saved people can get along. Are you listening to me? You better look up here. You may be on your way to hell, one foot in the grave and the other on the banana peel. If you can't get along, you're always causing trouble. You're in the ejected case and the tickety mood all the time, and nobody can satisfy you. Disagree with everything that comes along, but against everything God tells the pastor in the church to do. I vote to my spirit tonight, you never met Jesus and never been saved by the grace of God. Jesus said, Father, I have given them eternal life, and they can be won by the grace of God. He said it five times, and five is a number, numerically the number of grace in the Bible is five.
Amen.
You can't love each other in spite of your differences.
Right.
I've been married 47 years, and I'm not going to rehash what I preached last night, but me and my wife are very muchly married. We've been married 47 plus years, and I want to stay married to her until one of us dies, and I would never marry again. Amen. You can keep that on tape and put it in her casket if she dies first. Amen. I never make the same mistake twice. Are you listening to me? I'm too old to make another mistake anyway, amen. But are you listening to me? The new birth produces unity.
Amen.
He gives them eternal life. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here's my point. Everybody that's saved is indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Would you agree with that?
Right.
Every believer, since the day of Pentecost, has been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit lives in the heart and the bosom of everybody that's saved in this dispensation. And I'm telling you, if He lives in your heart, if you're saved and He lives in your heart, here's what the Bible said in Romans 5:5. You may have never read it, but it is in your King James Bible. When the Holy Ghost comes into the heart of a believer, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Amen. That's right.
I can love Bill Howard, your pastor. And I can love his family. And some of you that I have never met before, never seen before, I love you because there's a witness of the Spirit, Brother John said, that we sang about tonight.
That's right. Amen.
You got the love of God in your heart? Listen to me. Are you saved? Let me tell you how to grow a church. Minister comes in here, every member of this church, you ought to shake their hand,
amen.
Smile, give them a cold gay smile, and tell them, thank God we're glad you're here. We love you. Thank God for visiting our church. We got a good man of God. We believe the Bible. We love the Lord. Don't make a mockery out of things and don't go overboard. But I'm trying to let people know that you love the Lord,
amen.
And you love them. You love visitors come this way. I've been here about 3 or 4 days. Somebody ain't shook my hand yet.
Amen.
I did shake yours, but I had to run you down, catch you out when you're going out the door, try to shake your hand. You're not going to build a church that way.
Right.
Got to let people know you love them, you appreciate them.
Amen.
Especially those of the household of faith.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
When you get indwelt by the Holy Ghost, there's a good dose of love swells up in your heart, and it just fills your life up with the love of God.
Amen.
Brother, you're praying, wish you'd got saved earlier. Been saved 25 years or something like that, I think he said, how sweet it is to walk with Jesus. I wish everybody notified her face how sweet it is.
Amen.
Some of them look like you've been eating prune juice, got baptized in vinegar before you come to church.
Okay.
You are what I got. No, I
I had 25 years of that before I met Jesus. Amen. I don't want any more of that. I was miserable enough in sin. I don't want any more of that.
All right, listen to me. If you're saved, if the new birth occurs in verse 2 and 3, the Holy Ghost comes in. I'm not going to get through tonight. I'm going to preach till I get out. Throw a glass of water in my face and take me to the motel. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, He feels that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you. I can quote most of my verses to you. If you want to write them down, that's fine. You can do what? That's the first evidence that you're saved tonight. The love of God. You love each other. The Bible said, Brother John, in his epistle, I think it's 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, He that knoweth God loveth his brethren, and he that knoweth not God, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Are you listening to me? He that loveth not knoweth not God. The epistle to John, or the epistles of life, I think he was the older epistle, the apostle writing those epistles, and neighbor, he's just expressing that love, how he loved each other, and loved the church, and the elect lady, and all of that. It's because the love of God was shed abroad in his heart, and he said that crowd that may get in the church and does not love is because they don't know God. Are you listening to me? I better confirm that verse because I'm preaching out of memory right now. But let me turn to a verse. He that loveth not God. I hope I'm right. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to tell you, you can love every member of the church. You can love every child of God. You can love your preacher when he rears back neighbor and preaches the Word of God. Some of you get upset. It's the day the Bible said in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap for themselves teachers having itch and ears, and they'll turn away from the truth and be turned unto fable. But watch thou in all things, do the work in the bandbooks, make full proof of thy ministry. I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure's at hand. I fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished the course. There's laid up for me a crown. You listen to me. We're living in that day when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they're heaping up a bunch of teachers, and they're heaping up a bunch of preachers that will not tell them the truth. And God's people, it looks like they love to have it so. May God have mercy upon a church that does not want a preacher to tell them the truth.
Right.
I had a physical 3 or 4 weeks ago. My daughter insisted to get one. I had one 40 years ago. I didn't think I needed it. When I was pastoring, the church paid $1,200, if I remember right, and they examined me from toenail to the top of my head and run me back in one of those things that checked my brain. They didn't find a thing. You already knew that, didn't you? I felt like I was a sardine slipping back in that canister. I didn't like it a bit. I don't like to be smothered to death. Amen. And they took in all the blood work. The doctor got real personal with me. After he did all that stuff in several days and getting all the reports back, he called me in his office. He's a Christian doctor. And he sat there and he looked across the desk. Yeah, and he's drunk his glasses and he said, "Are you running around on your wife?" I said, "No, sir, I'm not running around on my wife. I don't know why they asked me to run around on my
He said, "Well, I just wondered that you're not getting enough rest. I just wondered why. And maybe you're some antsy and you can't get run around. You're nervous." And I said, "No, I'm past PTSD from my daddy's past."
He said, "You got two things wrong with you, preacher." He said, "You 20 pounds too heavy or 30, whatever." He said, "You're fat. You can't be fat like customers say fat and people get mad at you." He said, "You're fat." And he said, "You triglycerides and cholesterol is too high." "Okay." He said, "You're ugly too."
I went back to him here just 3 or 4 weeks ago, gave him another physical. Hey, boy. My wife was in there with me then. He didn't ask me a question then. You know what I did? Paid him $1,200. Said, "Man, told me the truth. I was too bad. I lost 42 pounds, gained about 20 of it back, and I still lost because he told me the truth."
Amen.
He told me the truth in love, brother. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "Speaking the truth in love." You got a man of God that loves you. Don't ever get mad at him for saying what that Bible says. What do you want to do? Lie to you? What would I want that doctor to tell me? Just keep on preaching. Well, like a lot of them doing, eat yourself today. Oh, let your cholesterol go clear out the roof like your sister-in-law. Hers was 700. Mine was 270 something. She's dead too, by the way. He could have lied to me, took me $1,200, said, "Oh, you're all right, just eat, drink, and be merry. Everybody's got to die sometime." But he told me the truth.
Amen.
And I said, "Thank you." And I've been going back to him. He's been my doctor for about 40 years. Listen to me. Don't ever get upset at the preacher for telling you the truth.
Amen.
What thus saith the Lord? Amen. There's hirelings on every corner.
Amen.
There's men that don't care about the flock and they flee because they are a hireling and careth not for the sheep. You got a man of God that loves you. I know him, probably know him longer than any of you have ever known him. And he believes this Bible and he loves preachers and he loves people and he loves God and he wants to help you and rescue your family and keep your children out of hell and keep your family together, get you to build a good moral family for the glory of God. Thank God for a man that'll preach that book. And if you love the Bible and love the Lord, you'll love His servant. Amen. Because the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the first evidence that you're saved. That's because you love God. If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God that you haven't seen? Are you listening to me? Let me ask you, do you love the church? And do you love your preacher? And do you love preaching? The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, he said, "We are partakers of divine nature." I don't have time to label these points. I'm trying to hurry. But when you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit comes in, seals Himself. He is the seal. And you're sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. He seals you. He lives in there. He'll never leave you. He's going to go out in the rapture when Jesus comes. If you listen to me, you are also a partaker of a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Brother Peter said in chapter 1, verse number 4, that we are partakers of divine nature. I know I'm saved tonight because I'm a dual-natured person. I've still got the old Adam nature. I've still got the Adamic nature. That's that old man, as the Bible said, to put off the old man and put on the new man. I don't have time to deal with it, but if you feed the old man, the new man will starve to death. If you feed the new man and put off the old man will starve to death. And whichever one you feed is going to be the dominating force in your life. So feed the spiritual man. Feast on the good word of God. Come to prayer meeting. Read your Bible. Pray. And you become a spiritual individual. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can out overcome and live a victorious life over the old man.
Amen.
You are a dual nature person if you're saved. Do you have that evidence? I haven't smoked or drank or chewed in 42 years.
Amen. And I'm not bragging on that. I had got some out of time or two before from the pastor, and I want to go out and smoke a big cigar about that. And chew the rest of it up. But I was walking down the street in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Miss Rain, my wife's with me. We was in Spartanburg or something. We was going down the street. We walked by one of them beer joints, just a little narrow thing, looked like about 15 feet wide and about 60, 70 feet long down through there. And the, like these swinging doors, and that aroma of smoke was coming out of there. Remember them days, Bill? That old aroma come floating out of that thing, and man, that's something. Hit that old nerve that's been there.
Amen.
I flared my nostrils out. And the Holy Ghost, get on down the road, boy. No, you never have that. I'm just being honest with you. You never had that problem. You ain't want to cuss since you've been saved. You don't want to do anything wrong. Hadn't had a foolish song. Never did anything but wasn't a faith. Mm-hmm. We all still got that.
Right.
Got a new nature.
Amen.
He that's with them is greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
That's 1 John chapter 4 as well. He that's within you is greater than he. You can live a victorious life.
Amen.
You can love the church and love your preacher and love each other because you got the love of God in your heart and you got God's nature. I just read to you 1 John 4:8. God is love.
Amen.
You got those distinctives about you. There's several more. I don't know how many you need tonight to know where you're saved or lost.
Amen.
I've got a new nature. Got the love of God shed abroad in the heart. Indwelt by the Holy Ghost is greater than he that's in the world. I can love people.
Amen.
Would you listen to me? There's not one thing in this heart and aught in my heart against anybody.
Amen.
Your pastor knows me. I've been cussed and lied on. They said things about my wife. If I hadn't have been saved with the love of God in my heart, I'd have knocked your teeth out. There's not one odd in my heart against anybody. You can't keep it in there and preach.
That's right. That's right.
It ain't worth it.
Amen.
Love people.
Amen.
God's wheels of justice grind, and they grind fine. It'll all come ground out one day when God gets through with us.
Right.
And just believe the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're pulling down the straw. Let God fight your battles for you.
Amen.
You jump on me tonight, I might accidentally knock you off of me, and I'm not out here starting fighting.
Amen.
Are you saved? Saved people love each other.
That's right.
I got one right, amen, and one head nod back on.
Amen.
Lord, let me give the rest of my exposition. Verse 1 through 5. I got it out of verse 2. There's a power that produces unity. Now, I'm not going to deal with this segment for very long. 6 through 10, look at verse number 6 and 7. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Have you ever got out of the world? That happens with the new birth. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. I marked word. In verse number 8, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And on down through there, here's my second point. There's a power that produces the unity. There's a that produces it. And there's the precepts that preserve it. We got a Bible. Are you listening to me? And your Bible tells you what to do. The Bible, when you get upset and you don't understand and your flesh rises up and the preacher punches your button, pushes your button sometime and you get kind of riled a little bit, if y'all know what those words mean out here in the flat land, but you get riled and you get upset and maybe the Holy Ghost will tell you
The Bible said for you to love your pastor and love them that have the authority over you and obey them. They're watching for your soul and they care about you. Church, are you listening to me? The Word of God, the precept for alliteration's sake, there's a power that produces unity, and then you've got a Bible, you've got the precepts of God's Word that preserves the unity. The Bible said to stay in fellowship one with another. You may have to say, I'm sorry. You may have to repent. You may have to get on your face before God. But the Bible said in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Are you listening to me? The church is not going to go anywhere. You walk by faith. This church is not going to get off of Canada Avenue or Street or whatever we're on. It's not going to get past the next corner until you can agree and get it together and two walk together in agreement. I check the three. Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Old beggar sitting there by the gate, beautiful, been there for years. And he asked for an alms, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none. His Baptist evangelist. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And he reached down and made of the Bible, said he got him up. And the fellow jumped up, healed, went down through Solomon's porch, walking and leaping and praising God. You know why that happened? They was two brothers and brethren that walked together in unity, and the all the Holy Ghost was on them, and they reached out and helped somebody. And this church is not going to be the blessing you can be until you can get it together and love each other. I would hate the thing. I was a member of a church or attended a church or supposed to be saved, and I had something under my bird, under my saddle, till I kept everything in an uproar and all the heels are kicking up and kept the church from reaching sinners. There's a power that produces unity. And then you got the Bible or the Word. God, Jesus said, Father, I gave them the words you gave me. And this Word says to love each other.
Amen.
This Word says to honor and respect and obey the authority over you. Well, I know some of you ladies, you think a pastor's a male chauvinist pig. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Don't ever marry a hard end. Are you boys, any more single boys here? Yeah, there's one or two. Take a good look at her mother before you marry her, buddy. She keeps her feathers up in the air all the time. Dominating the husband all the time. I'd find me some little old meek gal love Jesus and want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, preacher. Preacher, I don't like you. I love you. Produces unity when you get saved. You got a Bible to preserve it. Here's what's wrong with some of your homes. We don't have scriptural dads. We don't have scriptural mothers. And we don't have obedient children. How can our homes be in unity?
Right.
I got saved by the grace of God. I was dumb as a box of rocks. I didn't know of it. Epistle from an apostle. I bought the epistle for the apostle's wife. I was raised around the liquor bar. I wasn't raised in church.
Amen.
Got saved by the grace of God in my last year. We got our family together, sat down. God helped me preach just a few weeks after I got saved. Finally worked it around. Long story short, surrendered to preach, sat down and told my family. The preaching of the gospel and my ministry is a family ministry. It's going to be first in our life from this day forward.
Amen.
That's why she's not at home with grandchildren tonight.
Amen.
Cause of the ministry. That's why I'm not home with the grandchildren tonight. My little granddaughter called. One had the brain bleed, not supposed to be alive. And she said, Papa, I love you. And you know where my heart? It took flight and went all the way by to Taylor, South Carolina. I'd like to be there tonight. She gets in from school, but I'm out serving Jesus. Ministry's first. The love of God's greater than my love for my family.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Lord told me, preach today.
Amen.
A power produces unity. Precepts that preserve unity. That's verse 6 down through verse number 10. Thirdly, and I'm just about through. I'm not going to labor this point because we're all familiar with it. Verse 11 through verse number 16, you have the problems that prevent unity. Let me mark these in your Bible. I'm not going to preach them. Verse 11, you got the world. I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. You know we're in the world, don't you?
Long as we're in the world, we're going to have trouble.
You got the son of perdition. That's the devil. If you'll let me use Judas Iscariot as son of perdition, as the devil in verse number 12, I circled him. You got the world, you got the son of perdition, and then down verse number 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. You got hate, you got the world, and you got Judas Iscariot. Now you listen to me. The Bible said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Young people, listen to me. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now you can trade a little lust of the eye, and a lust of the flesh, and a pride of life. And I got me and I wrote down today I was going to preach about. I'm not going to take the time to do it. There's characters in the Bible that gave themselves to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that's a temporary thing, like quicksand slipping through your fingers, and it's gone. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Of what you want to trade for, a little bit of temporary thing that's going to slip away from you, like quicksilver, or something that's going to be eternal.
Yes.
You take David and Bathsheba. You take Samson going down the ten bath. His dad said, son, you don't need that kind of a girl. I don't marry her. That's the one I want.
That's right.
Samson's down at the mill, grinded mill with his eyes punched out. You remember?
That's right.
David's walking around, his wounds, I read it today, my Bible reads in the Psalm. He said, my soul, my wound run into my soul is run into night. He's eaten up with a disease from his foolishness, you'll say the Bible. Problems that prevent unity in the church. And all can he be heaped together in three categories? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or the pride of life. I believe it's Proverbs 13:10, if I'm remembering right. Check me, Sister Elizabeth. Only by pride cometh contention. That's narrowed down pretty close now. Does that help that verse say? That's my son's favorite verse. We've had so much church problem. And he showed me that verse one night. Only by pride cometh contention. You know why he can't get along at home? One of them's full of pride, or both of them's full of pride.
Right.
You know why he can't get along with church? Pride. You know why the Republicans, Democrats can't get along? Hillary, pride. P-R-I-D-E, pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Pride is the root of all contention in independent Baptist churches. You take the root of pride out, the fruit will dry up, and you'll get in Ephesians chapter number 4, where he said to love one another. Give honor one to another, esteeming one another highly for their work's sake, being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Get the root out. We deal with the fruit and not the root.
That's right.
Sinai dealt with the root. Sinai dealt with the fruit. I'm the root. Thou shalt not cut, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie.
You know what takes care of all that lying and stealing and cheating and coveting? Jesus said,
amen.
The root.
Amen.
He dealt with the heart.
Right.
Moses dealt with the outward. Jesus dealt with the inward. We got a lot of folks in church. They're trying to deal with the outward. And if you get that root right, the fruit will be all right.
Amen. Amen.
There's 9 fruits of the Spirit in the Bible. Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. 3 of them are towards your brother. 3 of them are inward. 3 of them are outward. And 3 of them are godward. You get that root right, all 9 fruit will take care of itself.
Amen.
Now, let me close tonight. You got power produces unity. Precepts preserve unity. Problems prevent unity. What's the prospect of practicing unity for alliteration's sake? What's this prayer all about? Anybody got any ideas? What's this prayer all about? What's my message all about? Look at verse number 21. You there? That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Why? That the world may believe.
Amen.
Look at verse 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know.
You know what he's praying for unity for? You know what he's praying that would most honor and glorify God more than anything on the world, in the world, on the earth? For sinners to be saved.
Amen.
That's what he's praying for. And I'll guarantee you, but I saw somebody drew a picture of Abraham Lincoln at the Abraham Lincoln Memorial. We got him, I guess. He's sitting there in that big old chair. 16th President of the United States, I think he was. But he's sitting in that big chair. Somebody drew a picture of him for an editorial or something. And Mr. Lincoln had his head down and had his hands in his head, and he was weeping over what's gone on in our nation. I can picture Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make an intercession for us. And I can picture him with his head down and his head in his hands, and tears running down his cheeks with a broken heart.
Right.
And he said, why can't my people get it together? Why can't the brethren love each other? Why can't people love their brothers and their sisters and love the pastor? That we can reach a lost and dying world that's going to hell. Do you realize what you're doing when you cause friction and turmoil and chaos in a congregation? Blood's going to be dripped from our hand because the world does not believe, and they're not going to believe until the church gets right with God.
Amen.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? I'm through.
I'm not the pastor, and I'm not God. I am asking you tonight, with the fear of God, you're going to stand before God one day. Can Tucson, Arizona believe that there is a God in heaven and Jesus is His Son and He loves them, wants to save them, if they look into your heart and into the way you act and the way you feel about your brothers and sisters in this church tonight? Are you listening? Tucson, Arizona. The blood will be on the hands of this church. God didn't send your pastor out here for nothing. He sent him out here to reach you and to reach souls and for you to reach others with the good news of Jesus saved. Here's what you need to do tonight. Search your heart. Look into your heart and see if that stinking root of pride has taken root around the bedrock of your soul, and hate and bitterness and envy and strife and division, lost souls are coming out of there. here's what you need to do. Preacher, I'm sorry. I want the church to love me. I want to love the church. I want this church to be in unity. I want to reach souls for Jesus. Father, I love you. Thank you for speaking my heart today. Thank you for liberty to preach. Thank you for Jesus to pray for his church and for the brethren to be one. That the world might believe, that the world might know that you came into this world to save. God, help every one of us be honest with you tonight. Give the pastor wisdom, direction, and the invitation. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name.
Let's all stand to our feet tonight. We want to have a time of invitation, and Brother Jones is going to lead us in a song, page 161 in your hymn book tonight, page 161. Preacher Raines has preached from his heart to us tonight, and I have to say amen to everything he said. It's the truth. I mean, all of us can allow bitterness to get in our life. We can allow envy to get in our life. We can allow pride in our life. And if we get those things in our life, we don't have unity. And it's going to take a unit. It's going to take being knit together in love one for another for this church to do anything for the Lord. Amen. If we're going to glorify Him and reach our community and reach our city, we've got to have unity. Knit together. I thank God for those of you that love the church and love each other and love the pastor. But I know that even in a small congregation like ours, there's problems in the heart. There's problems in people's heart. And if we don't deal with those problems in our heart and we allow sin in our life, we can't be in unity with the brethren. And we can't serve God effectively as the body of Christ. So let God search your heart tonight in the invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to every heart now in the invitation. Speak to my heart. God, I pray that you'd show us exactly what we need to do in this invitation. Help us to be obedient to you, Father. Lord, help us not to be rebellious in our heart. God, help us to be yielded unto you and submissive to the Word of God. Lord, that you might use us and bless us and help us to be a light in this world, Lord, that's lost and dying, going to hell. Father, we thank you now for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate you being in the Lord's house tonight. I do thank the preacher for preaching.